It's our custom at our parish to celebrate our patron, St. Nicholas, always on the Sunday after his feast. And on Friday, we remembered him especially, and it was heartening to see around the world how people remember St. Nicholas. Not only us Orthodox Christians, but Christians throughout the world honor and celebrate his memory. And Thursday evening, we had the Pan-Orthodox Divine Liturgy with the Vespers here at our parish, where Father Jared Russell of Assumption Greek Orthodox Church preached on one of the many events in St. Nicholas's life. He was speaking about St. Nicholas at the First Council of Nicaea in 325, when he struck the heretic Arius because he could think of no other way to get Arius to keep quiet from preaching heresy. And Nicholas had a zeal for Christ, but a zeal according to knowledge, as St. Paul says. And there are many things about his life that we can reflect on so that everyone in any stage of their life and anything they are going through can turn to our Holy Father Nicholas when there is difficulty or trial. Even at that First Council of Nicaea, in his life, it says that he fell asleep during dinner. And the other bishops saw he was sleeping. I'm sure a long meeting, and then you eat and you fall asleep. But unbeknownst to them, in his sleep, God had transported Nicholas to a ship that was in trouble on the sea and in danger of sinking, and the sailors were in danger of drowning. And like Christ, Nicholas calmed the wind and he calmed the waves. And when he woke up, his brother bishops told him, the ship has been saved. And they were speaking of the church as a ship. And Nicholas said, a ship was saved with men. That he, through his intercession to God for these sailors who were in danger of drowning, brought them to safety. And he himself was on board a ship coming back from Jerusalem, having visited the holy places where our Lord preached, where he taught, where he was born, where he suffered and died and was buried and rose from the dead. And on that ship, again, a storm had arisen, and they came to St. Nicholas, who prayed that the waters would be stilled and that everyone on board was saved. And even after his death, a sailor was on a ship, and it was the ninth hour of the night, so it was pitch black. It's dark out on the sea. There are no street lights. So imagine in ancient times when all they may have had were some oil lanterns on a ship. And the wind had come up, and they were getting the sails together. And as sometimes happens, the sailor got caught by the rope and was thrown overboard in the dark of night. And his shipmates, what could they do in the dark? They couldn't even see him. They continued sailing, and this man wearing his clothes was sinking in the sea. And he prayed to St. Nicholas, and this was after Nicholas's death. And he prayed, Father Nicholas, help me. And then his neighbors at his home, back at home, heard this ruckus and went into his house and found him there, soaking wet in his clothes. He who had been in the sea, drowning, was found in his own home, wet, drenched with water. And they brought him to the bishop and the priests who brought him, and this was in Constantinople, who brought him to the church of St. Nicholas, where they immediately set a service to St. Nicholas and venerated his relics. That he had saved this man, not simply from drowning, but even transported him back to his own home, to the safety of his own bed. And St. Nicholas also has helped children. Three children who had been mercilessly murdered were restored to life by the prayer of St. Nicholas. And those who are on death row have an intercessor in St. Nicholas. Because not one person or two or three, but six people St. Nicholas saved from death, who were condemned to death. Three in his own town of Lycia, who were condemned to death by bribery, that someone had bribed the chief magistrate with silver and gold to get these three men out of their way. And Nicholas came as they were about to execute them and grabbed the sword from the executioner. And so these three men were saved. And three others, generals of Emperor Constantine, witnessed this. And when they went back to Constantinople, the same thing happened to them. They were brought up on false charges and sentenced to be executed that very night. And Saint Nicholas didn't come in person, but again, in a dream. He came to Constantine, and Constantine was not a Christian at this time. He was sympathetic to Christians, but he hadn't even been baptized. And he had a dream of Nicholas telling him, "Emperor, free these men, or I will intercede before the Lord against you." Imagine that. We pray for intercession to help someone, and Saint Nicholas warned the emperor, "I'm going to intercede against you, that God will show you the right way." And Constantine was filled with fear of the Lord, and he freed these three men. Six men saved by Saint Nicholas from certain death. And at the time, Nicholas wasn't concerned about innocence or guilt. He was concerned about saving these six men from being executed. And perhaps the most told of the miracles of his life that happened in his own life, not a miracle in the sense of a healing or a rescuing, but of how we are to be when we deal with those who are in need. The man who had the three daughters, and in the time of the Roman Empire, marriage was a contract and a daughter was property of her father. And to marry well, the father had to give a little something to his future son-in-law. He had to give him some money, the dowry. The more money you had, the better off the match would be. And this man had nothing. And he was going to sell his daughters into slavery. And on three successive nights, in secret, Saint Nicholas took a bag of gold and threw it in through the window. And according to tradition, it either fell in their shoes or their stockings that were drying. And so they had a dowry and they were able to be married. And Saint Nicholas didn't talk about this. He didn't say, "Look what I did for this man and his daughters." But the man found out. And from that day to this, we remember what Saint Nicholas has done, which is why we put our shoes and stockings out on the night before his feast, which is why often oranges are placed there, remembering the gold that Saint Nicholas gave to that father so that he would not commit the dread sin of selling his daughters into slavery, but rather that they might be saved and be married. And that's why, as I mentioned on Thursday evening, sometimes you'll see at pawn shops the three gold balls. That's Saint Nicholas. The three oranges, the three bags of gold, the remembering of Saint Nicholas, that they, even pawnbrokers, call Saint Nicholas as their patron, as do people who sail on the sea, as do children and all travelers, those who are imprisoned and condemned to death, those who are sick, those who have difficulty with their sight. For the Serbian saint, Stefan Dečanski, who was blinded through his prayers to Saint Nicholas, received back his sight. All these things and more of Saint Nicholas's life, our patron, how blessed we are to have so great a saint that everyone knows of Saint Nicholas. Everyone will ask his intercession so that we on this day, and not only this day, but ask for his intercession for us. Because he is here on this icon in the relic that we have, the icon there at the near the narthex. He is not simply a disinterested bystander watching us. He is before God's throne now praying for us as he prayed in this life. He is praying for us that we join him, that everything we need in order to be with him at God's throne will come to us, that we can come to repentance for our sins, that we can be generous to those who are in need, that we can visit the sick, pray for those who are traveling, those who are imprisoned, those condemned to death, that we, like Nicholas, offer up our lives in prayer, in intercession for others, as he offers up his life now in heaven, praying for us, that we too can join him. Join him in worshiping the Christ whom he served in this life, the same Christ whom we worship here now, and the same Christ who will call us from this life, and we pray to the fullness of life in his heavenly kingdom with the Father and the Spirit, the ages of ages. Amen.